So I wanted to bring a word this morning on something, strangely enough, that has encouraged me recently. And hopefully this will encourage you. And I just want to check, is there anyone in the room this morning who's ever had any disappointments? Can you, right, okay, I'm not on my own. Hang on, there are some people who have never had disappointments? Wow, okay. I've got some people who have raised both hands. If they could, they'd be raising their feet as well. Look, one of the things that is true for all of us is that we all face disappointments, amen? In every area of our lives, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our marriages, our businesses, our ministry, our workplace, our life situation, there is always disappointments that we have to overcome. Amen? The definition of disappointment is to be disappointed, is to be discouraged or sad because of an unmet expectation regarding someone or something. Okay? So we get disappointed about other people, about what other people may or may not have done to us, or our expectations of what someone should or shouldn't have done for us. Amen? And disappointment can lead to despair. So we have to be very, very careful when we get discouraged and disappointed. It's a pivotal moment in regard to how you walk with the Lord in this specific season of your life. You can either dwell on the negative, which will cause you to stumble because your disappointment can easily zap the spiritual strength out of you, or you can focus on Christ. Amen? We have a choice. Like everything in life, we have a choice. We have a choice to do good. We have a choice to do evil. Amen? And keeping your mind on the Lord and the love of God will help your feet from stumbling. And by doing so, you live in the light of eternity and you learn to trust in God's will. What's your response going to be? What's our response going to be? The next move you make after disappointment is crucial to your spiritual health. Now, I bring this word on the back of something that had occurred to me a few weeks ago in relation to a job opportunity, okay? And so I brought part of this during the devotions on the Thursday morning after I'd learnt that after 4.5 years of sitting in a role at work and going for every temporary position that could possibly be coming up in relation to that role and winning every temporary position, when I went for the permanent position, I didn't even make the order of merit. Now, that to most of you will probably mean nothing at all. But for people that work in the government, you understand that if you don't make the order of merit, you don't even get an opportunity to have your temporary position extended. That means basically if you've been acting in a high duties role or in any role whatsoever, you can literally lose that role. You could literally lose your job over that. And so I'm in this situation on this Wednesday afternoon and I had a phone call and they said to me, "I'm sorry, you didn't even make the order of merit." And I was absolutely devastated. And, you know, you sometimes think, well, you know, how much more can I be kicked when I'm down? You know, and what is going to be my response to this episode? Because that's all it is. It's just a part of my life. What is going to be my response to this disappointment? Am I going to choose to fall apart about it completely? I did to a degree. I'm not going to say I didn't, but I chose to trust God. And we have to choose to trust God no matter what is going on in our lives, okay? Every single time. You see, well, you can be let down by your boss. You can be let down by your pastors. You can be let down by your best friend. You can be let down by your husband. You can be let down by your wife. You can be let down by absolutely anyone and everyone. And because sometimes they're not meeting your expectations, but are your expectations too high? Are our expectations of other people higher than what our expectations are for ourselves sometimes. You know, Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8, it tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." How many people know that when we start to worry, then you can easily get sick? Yeah? You know? How many times when things are going wrong at work or you're starting to worry about something and in the pit of your stomach you just feel like, oh. God tells us to put our trust in him, not on the circumstance. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, when things go wrong, we have to remember that God sees the beginning from the end. He knows the start from the beginning. He knows something here has to give before this can happen for you. Okay? This is something that I've had to learn along the way as well. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 8 says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he..." Hello? If that's God, can you just give him my love? Thank you. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around or about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You see, when we turn our focus off of God, the enemy goes, "I gotcha." If we allow the root of bitterness to come in over a circumstance or a situation, then we can find ourselves in some serious trouble. Amen? Because the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Psalm 119, 116, so that's Psalm 119, verse 116 says, "Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." Amen. Our hope is in Christ, amen? Our hope, everything that we have is laid at the foot of that cross. Everything that I have is in the name of Jesus, amen? You see, disappointment can reveal our true heart. So what do you do when you get disappointed? Let me ask it this way. What is your response to disappointment? Is it to revert back to your old way, or is it to worship? Let me give you an example. Let's say you've been fasting and walking in obedience for God to answer a specific prayer, but God didn't answer your prayer. Due to God not meeting your expectations, do you stop walking in obedience? Very quiet. See, this shows someone who is serious or who is not serious, okay? This shows someone who wanted to put on an act for God to answer. What was Job's immediate reaction to his trials and tribulations? Do we know? What did Job do? He praised God. He worshipped God. He continued no matter what happened. Now, if you read the book of Job, you know Job went through a lot of stuff. I had to be careful there where I chose my words. Hallelujah. Job went through so much. He lost absolutely everything. He lost his family. He lost his livelihood. He lost all his stock. He lost everything. But he worshipped. You see, this is powerful. Here is a man who suffered dearly, but instead of being bitter towards the Lord, he worshipped. And this should be our response. Amen? When David was fasting for his son, did he turn away from the Lord after finding out that his son had died? No, David worshipped. By worshipping, you're putting your trust in the Lord and you're saying, "I might not know why this happened, but I know that you are good." Amen. I might not understand it, but God, regardless, I know you are good. I know you are good. Job chapter 1 verses 20 to 22 says, "Then Job arose, he tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and he worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with being wrong." That's a challenge for us today. How often when something goes wrong, immediately we put the blame on somebody else. We try to shift that blame. "Oh, that's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. But God, you turned this person against me and you turned..." No. "In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with any wrong. In Job 13, 15, he goes on to say, 'Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him.'" Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 12, 19 and 20 says, "When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, 'Is the child dead?' And they said, 'He is dead.' So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate." One of the most powerful times for me was a number of years ago when Pastor Bill was here and my stepfather in the UK passed away. And, you know, I couldn't be there, and, I mean, not much like it is today. But we couldn't be there to see him off, to be there with the family or anything like that. I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to be here. And I remember Pastor Bill saying to me, "Janet, I want you to come and worship the Lord." I said, "I don't feel like it." He said, "I don't care." He said, "I need you to," he says, "you need to be here and you need to worship the Lord through this." And it was the best thing that I could have done. And I want to encourage you, when you're going through a time of difficulty, come and be a part of this. Come and worship God, you know. Come and give God the glory. Regardless of what's going on in your life, you might be running through a really, really terrible storm right now, but God has already got you wrapped up in his wings. He's already got you. He's already hidden you. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Amen. When he was going through the hardest times, he would fall upon his face and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." We sing that. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy bless his holy name." That's where we need to be. In Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." You see, when non-Christians see our response to disappointment, when non-Christians see our response to things that are going on in our lives, when other people see that we can turn around and despite what's going on, we can lift up our hands and we can worship God, that is more of a testament to them, more of a testimony to them than us sulking and walking around as a defeated person. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 34, 1 to 7, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Hallelujah. "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We lift our eyes into the hills. From where comes our help? Our help, it comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen? You see, we've got to shift our focus. When we're disappointed, we need to just shift our focus, take our mind off the disappointment, pray for them. If someone's hurt us, we need to pray for them. Amen? We need to leave it at the cross. It's not our battle to fight. Amen? It's not our battle to fight. You see, we need to be vulnerable before the Lord. There's one for you. Be vulnerable before the Lord. You see, God already knows how you feel. Amen? Amen. I don't think you believe that this morning. God already knows how you feel. Don't try to hide your emotions, but instead bring them to Him. Amen? Disappointment is painful, and we know that. Yes? Disappointments in life has led to many tears, and it has in my life. It's either your disappointment is going to drive you away from God, or it's going to drive you to God. Your disappointment will either drive you away or it will drive you closer to Him. God understands how you feel. So talk to Him about your questions. Talk to Him about your doubts. Talk to Him about your confusion. He knows that you're struggling with these things and more, and be open and allow Him to encourage you, comfort you, guide you, and remind you of His sovereignty. Amen? See, Jesus felt everything that we feel. When he was walking towards that cross, when He was walking towards our deliverance, He went through everything that was known, every suffering that any man could possibly go through. He was despised. He was rejected. Amen? He knows how we feel. He went through more than what we ever will go through. Amen? Psalm 139, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 10, verse 1, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 61, 1 to 4. "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. And I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." You see, when we're going through it, all we need to do is go and shelter. All we need to do is cry out to Him, because He's there with His loving arms to wrap around us. Amen? And we forget that. It's so easy to forget that God already knows how we're feeling. He knows that we're disappointed, and all He wants to do is say, "Joe, just come to me. I just want to wrap my arms around you. I know what you're going through, and I love you, and I sent my son for you so that you won't have to ever suffer from these feelings ever again, and all you've got to do is lift up your eyes to me, and I will give you strength, because I am your refuge and I am your strength in your day of trouble." Amen? That's all we need to do. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. We tend to quote that little bit of the scripture, "For when I am weak, then I am strong," and we forget everything that's there before it. You see, His grace is sufficient for us, for His power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Doesn't matter what we're going through. Doesn't matter what is coming against us. God is there for us. Amen? Psalm 13, 1 to 6. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me. Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Amen. Amen. We can go through all of these things, but he has been good to us. We sing it. You know, the goodness of God. Amen. He has been so good to us. Psalm 62, 8 says, trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Amen. Don't waste your disappointment. Don't waste your disappointments. What do I mean by this? What do you mean, Pastor Jan? Well, every trial that we go through in life is an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity for us to grow. Going back to my story a couple of weeks ago, okay? So I lost out on this thing I've been going through for 4.5 years, wanting this permanent position. And I completely missed out on this role. And I went to the Thursday morning, I woke up and I had to go to this training session. And sitting in this training session with a number of other people that are in my level at work and listening to what they were talking about, they covered on the question from the interview that I'd had. They covered off on that question. And basically what it boiled down to from what I recognized was that people in Southeast Queensland have a lot more opportunity than we do in regional Queensland. And that's something that is significantly known, you know, across the work that I do. And they covered off on the question. And everyone that were from Southeast Queensland, when they said, oh, have you seen this before? And everyone's going, yeah, we've seen this before. Yeah, we've seen this before. And me and there was one other girl from regional Queensland, and we're looking at this thing going, oh, no, I've never seen this before. This is the first time I've ever seen of this. And I was able to take that observation to my area manager. And I said, do you realize A, B, and C? And I had a very long conversation in relation to this particular matter. And I'm probably not being very clear in my conversation because I'm trying to not, you know, de-emphasize things a little bit, you know, and put the anonymity in it. Does that make sense? And but I had these conversations, and I said, well, how is this fair for us in regional Queensland to be put up against people in southern Queensland when they get the exposure to this stuff and we don't get any training in it whatsoever? How can we truly answer questions about something we know nothing of? And anyway, my area manager said, yes, we're aware of these things that are going on, and believe me, we're aware of this, and it has been taken higher, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, long story short, the Friday afternoon, we get the email come through, and it says, congratulations to so-and-so who has been appointed as this particular role permanently. And she's not taking the role, by the way, and so we're going to be doing a whole nother process in a few weeks because no one else in the whole of our office was found meritorious. So basically what's happened is that now we have to go through this whole process again. Now, I'm saying that to say this. God knew that was going to happen on Wednesday when I had the conversation with the other person. And I was upset and I was disappointed, yet God showed me that I had to keep my eyes focused on Him. It does not matter what's happening in the natural. God has already got hold of it in the spiritual realm. And, you know, He's already made a way. That door for that other person has been shut. They've recognized that this wasn't a good process that they went through. And so now the door is opened even wider because they know that now we don't have to go up against the rest of the state to do all of this stuff. It will just happen in our area. And saying it like this is that doesn't mean to say I'm any less of a person of those people down south, but it gives us an equal opportunity to be able to do what we need to do. Now, if I'd have gotten all upset about it and all uptight about it, gone home on the Wednesday afternoon, which incidentally I had done the last time, okay, I own up to it, you know, and my manager, I said, can I just go home? Oh, I was in tears. I was a mess. She said, Janet, go and walk away for half an hour and then come back. And she said, I'd really like you to stay. If I had walked away, I wouldn't have done the training session. I wouldn't have been able to put A and B together to go to the area manager to say A, B, C, D, and E. And we would not have the outcome that we have now. And why was that? Because I chose to put God first. I chose to look to Him and say, look, you know, this has happened. This has happened, and I've got to leave that there, and I've got to move across to this, and I know I've got to trust God no matter what happens because He's got the best intentions for me. See, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, okay? And that's what we have to remember. So often we go, oh, God, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, I'm here to tell you that He does. He knows everything. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. Amen? I'll leave that one there. Hallelujah. Every tear and every unmet expectation in this life is an opportunity to look to Christ. If we're not careful, we can easily have the mindset of nothing ever goes my way and God doesn't love me. Have we forgotten that God's great goal is to conform us into the image of His Son? Hallelujah. See, your disappointment is doing something in you. You might not be able to see what your disappointment is doing, but who cares if you can't see at the moment? You're not asked to see. Instead, you're told to trust in the Lord. Use your trial to see Christ in a way that you've never seen Him before and allow God to use it to work in you and to guide you in the right direction. You see, when bitterness takes a hold of us and you see people, you see Christians walking down the street sometimes, coming to church sometimes, and it's like they're chewing on lemon. Hello, sister, how are you today? I'm all right. How are you? Who's preaching today? Pastor Jan. See, when you're bitter about something, it's written all over your face. Come on. Am I the only one here? Hallelujah. You know? We get bitter because some people, and this is true, people get bitter because somebody has done better for them, better than them, you know, or people have been promoted ahead of them. Okay, so I'm not bitter, by the way. Okay, the thing is that we have to trust God through it all, amen. We have to trust God and know that He's got the right thing for us. What is it Pastor Bill always used to say? You being great takes nothing away from me. And that's a principle that I try to live by. Hallelujah. That's integrity at its finest. That because somebody else gets opportunities more than you or does things better than you doesn't mean to say that they're any better than you. It means to say that you being great takes nothing away from me. That them being great takes nothing away from me. That Pastor Ben, the senior pastor, is it takes nothing away from me. Yeah. Pastor Rodney took over from Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill used to say it all the time. Rodney's a fantastic preacher. Him being great takes nothing away from me. Amen. That's what we have to be, the type of people that we need to live by that. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 3 to 5 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Or as it says in the New King James Version, hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not comparable to the glory that will be revealed in us. Hallelujah. James 1:2 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen? God is in control. He's in control. I'm here to tell you, he's still in control. You know, Dan may have shut down Victoria, but God is still in control. He's still on the throne, amen? We may have lost Gladys, but God is still in control. Hallelujah. Woo. We have such minuscule plans for ourselves compared to what God has for us. God's plan is much better than mine. God's plan is much better than your plan. I'm going to go and do this, sister. Well, not if God doesn't want you to do it, you're not going to do it. Amen. I want to be a preacher. I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, is it in God's plan for your life? Hallelujah. This might sound cliche. A little bit of French there. Where's Pastor Puppy? This might sound cliche, because we've turned it into a cliche phrase, but this is the truth. When we are aligned towards the will of God, we learn to appreciate God's plan. Amen. I look back at my past disappointments, and now I see how pitiful my plans were compared to what God wanted to do in me and around me. You know, God had to take us out of another place and plant us here for us to be able to grow into the people that God has us to be. Okay? And I say it like this, as difficult as it was at that time, as much tears were cried, as much disappointment, God knew that he had something better for us. Sometimes you need to go through a shaking so that God can uproot you and plant you to where he exactly wants you to be. Amen? See, I remember saying, and Joe and I have spoken about this over the years, you know, I remember saying, not long before the shaking came for us at the other church, I'm here for life. This is my church. I can't see myself anywhere else. This is where I'm going to live and die. Amen. Within next minute, here came the shaking. Here it came. And we were completely uprooted and replanted over here with Pastor Bill. Was it hard? Absolutely. Did we continue to trust God? Yes, we did, through many tears, much prayer. We have to trust God even when we're walking through the disappointments, you know. Pastor Ben talks about, you know, sometimes we have to go and we have to slay our giants. We have to kill our giants. Well, Pastor Ben talked about his particular giant that he had to kill before he got up here on the pulpit. Yeah. So I had to go and slay the same giant this year. Exactly the same giant this year. When Pastor Ben did it, he says, "I've done it for us, sis." "Done it for us, sis." I'm like, "You can't do it for me, bro." I've got to do it myself. We've got to go and slay our giants ourselves. Hallelujah. See, and that means facing up to those people who have maybe disappointed us. It means facing up to those situations. It means sitting down and having a cup of coffee with that person that hurt you. Amen? We've got to let go of trying to control every situation. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord, and while you're waiting, pour your heart out to Him daily. Learn to rest in Him and align your heart to His will. Be willing to listen to the voice of God. Don't try to drown out His voice to pursue your own will. Sometimes disappointments happen because we fail to trust in His timing. Amen? Sometimes we want something now, but God says, "Well, I've got to shift this and this in front of you yet. And if I give this to you now, you're only going to have more disappointment. But if you have this little bit of disappointment now and you trust me, then I can guarantee you that all of that disappointment that's going to come your way isn't going to happen because you've trusted me here." Does that make sense? Just because God doesn't do something today doesn't mean that He's not going to do it tomorrow. Always remember this: God sees what you can't see, and He knows what you don't know. Amen? Trusting in His timing is crucial. His timing is always right on time. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. Genesis 50, verse 20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." You know, sometimes when God puts you on hold, when God's got you on pause, and you're like the coyote, you know, and you see the cartoons, Roadrunner, and you're in one place and you're spinning, all your wheels are spinning, you know. God's got you on hold, He's got you on pause. But He's got you on pause for a reason. Because if you set out to do gung-ho, you may end up causing more people to walk away from God than bringing them to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." My favorite scripture is Psalm 18:13. It says, "Righteousness goes before him and makes his footsteps our pathway." I remember that, and that prayer specifically when Pastor Bill prayed that over us when we first came over to Living Light, that his righteousness goes before him and makes his footsteps my pathway, your pathway. Amen. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Hallelujah. We've got to seek him. We've got to trust him. We've got to put our hope and our faith and everything that we have in him. And when the enemy comes to try and shake us, we can stand strong on the rock of our salvation, and we can say, "No, my trust is in the Lord. Everything I have, I'm going to trust him. You can try and shake me, but you ain't going to happen. That ain't going to work. You're not going to shake me down. I'm standing on the rock of my salvation." Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end and it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come and it will not delay." Amen? So the vision that God has for you, it will come at the perfect time. Don't be disappointed because you don't have it yet. Don't be disappointed because you can just see it there, but you just can't get to it. Don't be disappointed by that. Know that God's perfect timing will occur. And there will come a time, instead of you stretching and jumping and trying to get to something, that you're just going to step out and you're going to go, "Here it is. Here it is." You know? It's like when you're going through a really, really difficult time. And I know that people are going through tough times right now. You know, I know that people in Melbourne and in Victoria and New South Wales are going through difficult times right now. I know that things are going on. I know what my dad is going through. I know what many people are going through, and I understand that. But when we get to the end of our rope, we tie a knot in it and we hang on. We hang on because God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect, and we may not understand what's going on. We may not even understand the time of the season that we're in right now, but God does. You see, prayer is the place I go when I don't know, because God does. Amen? Amen? That's where we need to be, on our knees in prayer. Prayer is the place I go when I don't know, because God does. And I want to really encourage you today. If you're going through, if you're struggling right now, if there are things that you're going through and you're struggling, I want you to just trust God. Just lift your eyes, change your focus, refocus on God and say, "Okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but you do. And as hard as this is, I'm going to trust you with all that I am and all that I have, because I know that you've got my best interests at heart." Amen? And that's easy to say, but that's all God wants for us, is to just surrender to Him this morning. It's just to say to Him, "You know what? Lord, I give you my heart afresh this morning. I give you everything that I am, because I know I can't do it, but you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen? And so, be encouraged today. Hallelujah. I just want, if everyone can just bow your heads for a moment, I just really feel to just ask this morning that if there's anyone here this morning who is going through a time of disappointment, who is going through a time of struggle and would just like some prayer this morning, I just want you to raise your hand for me. Yeah, I see those hands this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For those that can I invite you to just come down the front so we can pray for you.